in my Bible, this is one of my favorites. One of the times I sat in that seat, the Lord had me do this one. And it works. It works if you work it.
Mm-hmm.
It works if you work it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got right here at 1 Kings 19 up at the top by verse 19. He was just working, doing what he knew. Elijah.
Yes.
Elijah.
Yes.
The S one.
Yes.
When Elijah came up to Elijah was just in the field working his family stuff. You know,
yeah.
Doing what he's done all of his life.
Doing what he knew to do.
And then he got that cloak thrown on him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord gave him a glimpse. He got a glimpse.
Mm-hmm.
When he got that cloak put on him, tossed on him, he got a glimpse.
Yeah.
And I love that. And then he said, let me go say bye to my mom and dad real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on a second. Hey, yeah. Hang on a second. I want to go say bye to my fam, okay? Hang on a second. And then Elijah replied, "What have I done to you?" Ow. And so he went back and he slaughtered his ox.
Mm-hmm.
He had nothing to go back to.
Yeah. That's good.
He made it to where he couldn't. There was nothing back there for him to go to because he
was done with that.
It was over.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word.
And then on 2 Kings, above chapter 2, above 13, I put, it works if you work it. Mm-hmm. And then I underline the if.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I, our cloak is there.
Yeah.
Our Lord Jesus Christ has left us his cloak. It's up to us to pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah. It is up to us.
Up to us.
Up to us. I mean, think about Elijah. What if he didn't call out the prophets of Baal and have them build the altar and call on Baal and then call on God and put it in their face? What if he hadn't done that?
And you know, Elijah, he picked up that cloak. He threw off his cloak, his family cloak, everything he knew.
Mm-hmm.
He threw off everything he knew, everything he was taught.
Mm-hmm.
He threw it off.
That's a good word.
And he picked up that cloak.
Yeah.
And he went to that river. And he took that cloak. And he hit that water.
Mm-hmm.
And it parted.
Yeah. Because he embraced what God was doing.
Pick up the cloak. People, pick up your cloak. It's there. Just pick it up. It will work if you work it.
Yeah.
Pick it up. That's the work. Pick it up.
Yeah, that's a
pick
good word.
Pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. It's the cloak of the Holy Spirit. It's the cloak of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the cloak of our God, our living God. Pick it up, put it on, and move.
Man.
Do you have any prayer requests over there, sister?
Let's forgive them the extra time. I didn't have them written down. I was listening, not writing.
We want to continue to pray for Frank Lucas. He was injured in a farm accident, and I read that he had to have hip surgery.
Oh.
So
I didn't even know that.
We want to pray for Arthur Trammell, who had heart bypass surgery. We want to pray for Sharon Youngblood, that she will have a date soon for back surgery. And we want to pray for Shanda Morrow's family. She lost her granddad.
Is that
Jason's
wife?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Shanda Morrow. Is that Jason's
Maybe.
Wife? She lost her granddad.
Mm. Okay. I'm going to throw in a man from our church. We call him Shaq. In fact, I don't even know his first name. Their last name is Shackelford, so I've always known him as Shaq. And he fell and broke his arm, and he's also on dialysis, and he's been in ICU at Mercy, but they moved him to a room yesterday. But I just want to pray that God heals his body, heals those kidneys, the whole thing. And then my mom is really having some physical issues and needs God to intervene in her life, and my dad needs God to intervene in my mom's life. It's wearing him out too. So I just want to throw them in there too. Yeah. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can come before your throne with our needs, knowing that your word says that you hear and respond. So, Father, we boldly bring these needs to you this morning. We ask for continued healing for Frank Lucas in this hip surgery, that he would be healed from head to toe, that the recovery would be quick and easy, and that you would get the glory from that. Father, we pray for Arthur Trammell as he is recovering from this heart bypass surgery, that you would just touch him, heal him, renew him, and just help him to recover quickly with no complications. Father, I pray for Sharon Youngblood, that she has a date for her back surgery soon. God, I just pray that you'd intervene in this situation. Heal her back, Father, in Jesus' name. If you want to do that through doctors, or you want to do that through just your power, we just give it to you, knowing that you can handle this. And we pray for complete and total healing, refreshing, re-energize, no pain, no symptoms, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for Shanda Morrow's family that has lost this loved one. I pray that you would comfort this family in this time of loss, that those memories would bring them joy, that they would be stirred to renew and their relationship with you and their commitment to you, and they would allow you to minister peace into their heart and to give them a new motivation to serve you. Father, I lift up Shaq to you. I thank you that he's moved yesterday from ICU to a room. But Father, just like Elijah prayed three times, we're praying again for total healing. That arm be healed, those kidneys be made new, and that his body physically lines up with the way you created it to in the first place, that he will rise up on his feet, jump to his feet, healed and whole in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray the same thing for my mom, that you would touch her body and touch her mind, heal her, make her whole, and give her a refreshing in her spirit, and that you would energize her and energize my dad and give him a refreshing, because being her caretaker has worn on him. And I just pray that you would give him a glimpse of your glory today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it,
the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier. We hope today.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is our beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Renee Kielhofer. Her title for today is, It Is Never Too Late.
All right, it's never too late. We're going to switch gears a little bit from Elijah, and I want to kind of fast forward to 1906. I've been reading a book about the Azusa Street Revival that lasted from 1906 to 1910 in Los Angeles. And this was an incredible historical revival. It was an awakening. It was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like no one had ever seen before. And really, we haven't seen since in a lot of ways. Most people haven't. And I love reading the stories about what God did. The miracles were so amazing. I mean, limbs grew back, teeth grew in, blind eyes were open, crippled legs were healed, tumors literally falling off, deaf ears open. I mean, the list just goes on and on. But the book that I just finished reading was unique in that this book told the story through the eyes of the children who were there. And it's pretty cool. The historical records document that there was this heavy mist in the services. And this mist they called the Shekinah glory. And it was God's visible presence in their midst. And there are multiple eyewitnesses that state that when the mist was its thickest is when the biggest miracles would happen. Now, the newspapers even report this mist, which I think that's cool in itself, yes, that the actual secular newspapers were covering this revival and the miracles. And I read a book before this that was Eyewitness Miracles from Azusa Street, and they had actual like clippings in there. It's so cool. So the newspapers reporting on this mist, and also it's documented in several of the newspapers that on several occasions the fire department was actually called because fire could be seen coming up through the roof of the building. And the children in the story say that when the fire department called was when the mist was the thickest and the most was going on. And I just thought that was so cool. And there were lots of physical manifestations of God's presence at Azusa. And from the children's viewpoint, the mist was fun. They talked about lying down in the mist, that sometimes it would only be like on the adults, it would be like knee deep. And so the kids would like lie down in it and just breathe it in. And they talked about how they remembered it just like filling them up. And it was like the most pure air that you could ever imagine when they would take a breath. And then when the mist was really thick, they played hide and seek in the mist. You know, all this is going, and I think this is so cute because can't you just see God performing, yes, miracles with little, or Jesus performing these miracles with the little children just running around his feet? Yes. You know, I love that. So they're playing hide and seek in the mist. And one of the kids said that he even remembered taking a jar to the meeting with him, and he was trying to capture some of that mist, like you would like a firefly or something. And I just think it's so, so precious. So these stories are unique in that they come from the eyes of the children. And one of the kids, a little girl, said it was her job, like her mom had given her this job, to sweep up the tumors off the floor as they fell off every time they were there. That's how many people were being healed, that she's going around with a little broom and sweeping up the tumors that have fallen off people. Wow! That's so cool. And some of these children were like young adolescents, almost teenagers at that time. And they were being used to actually perform miracles. They were performing miracles. And it's funny because they each had their favorite kind of miracle. And so one of them said that he really liked to pray for crippled people, him and this girl. That was like their thing. They like to pray for crippled people. So they would get there early and watch people come in. And if they had crutches or they were in a wheelchair, they would run over to them and say, do you want to be prayed for? And if they said yes, they would say, do you believe that you'll be healed? And if they said yes, the girl would start taking the leg things off their wheelchair or taking their braces off or their crutches off, and she would take it all the way on the other side of the room and say, you won't need these after we pray. And they would pray, and almost every single time it was instant healing. It happened immediately. People would stand to their feet, and legs would grow back. It was cool. And he said sometimes he would have to pray a second time to see healing. And one time, he had to pray three times. So I love it, because we just saw Elijah prayed three times. And so there was another teen girl there, and she liked to pray for tumors. And so she watched for people with, like, growths on them, and she would go over to them and ask them the same thing. And each time she prayed, their growths would either fall off in her hand or hit the floor. But she tells a story about a woman who came in who was like horribly disfigured. And so she went running over to her to ask if she wanted prayer. And the lady was like, for what? Now there's a message in there. Yes. She'd lived with this so long that she didn't know God wanted to do something about it. And so this teenage girl has to say, well, your face is kind of messed up, and God can fix that. You know? And so after she got over her indignance, you know, she allowed the girl to pray for her, and the disfigurement went away, and her face just became normal and beautiful. But I just thought, wow, that's funny, because a lot of us hobble along in life not knowing that God wants to do something. Yeah, I got this. It's all right. So these teens saw God doing great and mighty things. There was no doubt in their mind then, or even years later when they recounted these experiences, that God had done these things. They were confident in that. And most of these teenagers went on to be pastors or missionaries, as several of them opened missions for the homeless and like soup kitchens, and continued to minister and pray over people and even see miracles after that. And three of these teens went on to establish two of our present day mainstream denominations. Charles Harrison Mason, he was 16 at the time of Azusa, and he founded the Church of God in Christ. That's still going strong. And then Ralph Riggs and C.W. Ward, who were both only 12 years old at Azusa, but God's using them to perform miracles, they were the two men who founded the Assemblies of God. Wow. And it's funny because, you know, I grew up Assemblies of God, and so we have that Pentecostal reputation of, you know, being radical with our worship. And one of the guys that was interviewed for this book as an adult, he talks about Ralph Riggs, the one who helped establish the Assemblies of God, and how excited he got over everything, you know, and he would be jumping up and down and running around in the sanctuary over every miracle, you know, and I thought, yeah, he would be the one to found the Assemblies of God. So, but that's cool. You know, there's a lot to be excited about. So great ministries came out of this revival. For many of them, life beyond Azusa was just a continuation of serving God. For others, it was nothing more than a footnote in their lives. And sometimes we do that. We minimize things. And once the miracle ceased and life got back to the normal and ordinary, Azusa just lived as a faded memory for many of these people. For a few, their lives were so impacted by Azusa that life just stopped right there. Just like the story of Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, where he just wanted to build three tabernacles and just stay right there with Jesus forever. And that's kind of what some of these people did. There were some saints who spent the remainder of their lives just reliving the memories, basking in the glory of days past when Azusa was alive and well. So the book I read chronicled one such man's life. His name was Bill Brown. And he was 16 during the revivals, and he tells a lot of stories about the teenagers being used. He himself, he liked seeing blind people healed, and he was used in over 50 miracles to restore sight during Azusa. But when the revival ended, he said that he continued to go to the meeting hall where the services had been held, and he would just sit there and weep for the loss of yesterday. And he said that he had spent a lifetime remembering Azusa, but had never moved on. There's no legacy of him being used by God as a missionary, a pastor, you know, founding, make any great foundation for the Lord. He was only filled with regret over the years he had wasted since Azusa. That was his testimony in his 80s, that he'd never moved beyond Azusa. And there's a powerful message in his testimony, because somehow yesterday does not fulfill today's cravings to experience God in a fresh and vital way. That's why we have to keep it new. You know, the question is, how could one who was used of God to heal so many who were blind have been so blind himself? But we get lost in that. That's where many of us are today. You know, we live in this ever-changing world. We can feel hopeless. Many of us mourn the way of life that no longer exists. America, for one, I mean, it's not the same as it was when we were kids. It's not even the same as it was a few short years ago. And it's not ever going to be the same again. Church has changed in so many ways. The music's changed, the wardrobe's changed, the format's changed, and many of us like the way it was. Mm-hmm. We don't like the way what the changes are. So we have a choice to make. We can either be like the young people from Azusa, who took the power they received at Azusa and moved forward and continued to see God move, or we can just be like Bill Brown and never move forward and just sit there mourning over a past that's dead and gone. God can revive that, but it's not going to look the same, just like those bones that were thrown on, or the body that was thrown on Elisha's bones. The man that was raised up and came out was not Elisha. It was a new man, excited to see what God was doing. So God wants to raise up something new in us. The past is important because it gives us faith for the future. But the past is in the past. This is where we are now. Where does God want to take us from here? So prayer, there was... at the great outpouring of Azusa, they kind of summarized the outpouring with 2 Chronicles 7:14 that says, where God told his people that if they would humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then he would hear their prayers, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So the great outpouring of Azusa can kind of be summarized in this verse by five characteristics that, if we break this down, we can see in this verse. But it's humility, obedience, purity in prayer, and expectation. The acronym is HOPE. So humility is God's style. Now remember the stable where Jesus was born in Bethlehem? Now let's talk about the building at Azusa Street. That building had been previously used when they found it and rented it. Its last use was to stable farm animals. They had to literally clean the poop out of there. And one little girl said that her mom took her to help clean up every day to get the building ready. And that she was just so thankful that Brother Seymour assigned her the place where the goats had been and not where the cows had been. So she had to clean up the big cow poop. She's had to clean up the little goat poop. So, but, you know, humility is God's style. And that's really cool. And there's a lot of things about Azusa Street that were humble. First of all, that they were in a building where animals had been kept. They had to clean it up. They literally got crates and they bought 2x12 boards and laid across those crates to make pews. And William Seymour is the one who's kind of credited for leading the Azusa Street revivals. And he would come to church at the time for the meeting, and he would sit on the platform with a box on his head. And sometimes he would sit there for 10 minutes, and sometimes he would sit there for an hour. But it was his way of humbling himself before God and only focusing on God, so that when he took that box off, only the word of God would be spoken and only God would be doing whatever was happening. And in the meantime, we have all these adults and little kids running around praying for people, and people are getting healed while he's sitting up there hearing from the Lord. And that's humility. I love that. And then obedience is obvious. Those involved in ushering in the manifestation of God's power at Azusa Street, they sought his face. And they truly turned from their wicked ways. There was a holiness at Azusa Street where people lived in strict obedience to God's commandment to love one another and to love God with all your heart. Didn't matter what color your skin was, what your social status was, you came into Azusa Street, you were embraced by the power and presence of God, and whatever you needed, somebody was there to pray you through to that miracle. And there are so many stories of wealthy people that came in that had miracles happen, that used their wealth then to do something great for the kingdom. And then there are stories of people who were literally homeless who came in and saw God do miracles, and God continued to use them from that point on. It's just amazing. And then prayer was also vital to God's visitation. And this is really huge. Men and women gathered for months and even years in fervent prayer, asking God earnestly to send renewal and revival before Azusa Street happened. I read another book by Frank Bartlett, who God called him from, I want to say, Kansas or one of those Midwestern states. It wasn't Oklahoma, I'd remember that. But he called him from there to Los Angeles. He had a family, no job, packed him up, and went to Los Angeles because God called him there to witness and pray for revival. And he literally walked the streets of Los Angeles for a year, handing out little tracts that he had paid for to be printed himself, witnessing to people and praying. And God took care of him and his family for a year before. Preparing, kind of a John the Baptist, preparing for the move of the Spirit. And then there are two P's in our acronym HOPE. The second one is purity. And purity is mandatory within the presence of God. Purity manifests love, and that's an environment in which God chooses to dwell. So
prayer and purity. And I love the E, expectations. Expectations were high. These men and women believed in their prayers, and they were persistent in their prayers. They prayed in one accord, believing that God would hear their prayers. They prayed without ceasing, and they prayed without doubt. Now, God wants to move in our lives again, and I believe God wants to do miracles like that again. I really do. I don't believe that was a one-time deal and that it ended at Azusa or even in the 70s with the Jesus movement. It didn't end there. We just have to get stirred up again. And I believe he's waiting on us. You know, I heard a teaching the other day on the power of agreement. And the minister said that the 120 gathered in the upper room, they didn't wait 10 days on the Spirit to fall. The Spirit waited 10 days on them to come into agreement. That's powerful.
Yes.
That's powerful. And that agreement means I'm laying aside personal preferences because I want what you have for me, God. I want to see God move. And all these people, we want to see God move. You know, we pray for revival in our churches now, and we need to understand that we are not praying for a special speaker to come in and speak every night for 2 weeks. That is not revival. What we are praying for is to see God move, for a renewal and a revival in our spirits that desires a move of God more than anything else. You know, we get so caught up in our jobs all week long, in our entertainment all weekend, that we no longer desire a move of God. We got enough to fill up our lives. We don't need that too. And until we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and convict us of the things that need to go, I'm not telling you, you don't need to do this, 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 and this. I'm telling you, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit and see what he's telling you you need to whittle out of your life. Because if you try to do it on your own, that's not a move of God. If you try to do it because you heard somebody on Facebook Live say that you shouldn't do these things, and so you decide you're not going to do it, guess what? That is a Band-Aid, and it's not going to work for very long. But if you get on your face and you say, God, I want to hear from you. I want whatever in my life that needs to go, I want that to go, and I want you to take it from me, from the inside out, then I'm telling you, as he's taking that out, he's filling that void, and you will have power to stand where God puts you. And the miracles will happen. You will see the move of God. You won't miss the old way of living because you'll be too busy with the new way of living that God has put in your path. So if we want to see God move, it's not too late. It's time to get serious with God. Lay personal preferences aside. Come in agreement together so that God's presence can move in power again. So I want to close out by just saying, make this your prayer. Oh, dear God, find us worthy by your Son, and allow your Spirit to fall fresh on us with a new outpouring of your glory. Don't let me live in the past. Help me to do what you want me to do, because I'm here right now for such a time as this. I was born in whatever year I was born, and I'm an adult in 2023 because God wants to use me right now in 2023. That's why I'm still breathing air, and that's why you're still breathing air. It's time to get serious and see what God wants to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the word for today.
Amen. I got the God bumps, y'all. That was good. That was really good.
God is good. God is
good. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And I am going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Monica Lovell, from our beautiful sister, Tina Dobbs, and from our other sister, the gorgeous Renee Kielhofer, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.